Welcome to Family Talk with your host, psychologist and author, Dr. James Dobson. I'm Ryan Dobson.
And I'm Luann Crane. And Doctor, last time we started a very important discussion about really the dire straits that our American economy is in. And I have a feeling we probably set some folks to worrying about their financial future.
Well, it's easy to see how someone could get discouraged and even fearful when they consider the economic circumstances that our elected officials are putting the American people in. Mm-hmm. Our national debt soars over $14.3 trillion. Mm-hmm. And as we discussed, that's literally an astronomical figure. Mm-hmm. And if something isn't done about it, America as we know it now will not exist for our grandchildren and their children, at least not as it has been known for the first 230 years.
And, Dad, combine that with the fact that most Americans kind of live on the edge with their finances.
And some of them are listening to us today, mm-hmm. Ryan, because this is the common condition of the family today. Many people have lost their homes, and many people are not able to pay their bills. I was listening to the radio just yesterday and heard the commentator talk about the fact that for a lot of people today, they have to take a choice between paying their mortgage and feeding their children. Frankly, I resent the politicians that have done this to us.
Yeah. Well, Doctor, this is all very sobering already. I mean, it sounds pretty dramatic, and we're not here to say that the sky is falling, but that's really how many Americans feel right now.
It is, but we're not called to be people of fear. We are called to provide financially for our families, especially men are supposed to do that. And to help us delve more into this topic of our current economic climate and to discuss how we can protect our families, I've invited Dr. Kirk Elliott to be back with us today.
Dr. Elliott is an investment advisor with McIlvaney Financial Group, and that's based in Durango, Colorado. He has a PhD in public policy and administration from Walden University and serves on the board of Patrick Henry College, which I know, Dad, is near and dear to your heart. And he lives with his wife and two children in Southwest Colorado.
Well, Kirk, it is good to be able to continue to talk to you about this subject because you raised an awful lot of questions last time about where the Western world and especially the United States is going and what we do to protect ourselves. What are the policies in Scripture that the Lord would have us follow at a time like this? But we need to kind of summarize what you said. If I can just start down that direction, then you pick it up. We're spending money like there is no tomorrow. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, there is a tomorrow, or maybe fortunately there's a tomorrow. But our children are not going to live in the kind of economic circumstances that we've enjoyed because we're accumulating debt that we can never repay, and that our representatives and governmental officials don't seem to have the will to do anything about it. And if they don't, bankruptcy looms, and that has major implications for families. Mm-hmm. This is a family issue, which is why we're dealing with it here. Pick it up right there and kind of summarize for us what you were saying last time.
You know, with things as bad as they are and seemingly no hope, we have to always realize that God's economy is not man's economy. And God lays out a plan in his book, in the Bible, yeah, a blueprint for successful living. You know, he didn't necessarily say that it was going to be easy, but he did say that if we're faithful and obedient and generous givers, then he would take care of us. His word can't return void. And it reminds me of some of the stories in the Gospels. There were storms. Sometimes Jesus was the peace in the midst of the storm, and sometimes he calmed the storm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And either way, the end result was peace. Mm-hmm. And I think that we are at a point right now in our economy, in our world, where this storm isn't going to go away. He is going to have to be our peace in the midst of the storm.
Talk about the cycle of democracy. I have seen that you have written about that. Explain what it means.
Okay, the cycle of democracy, the origin is somewhat unknown, but that does the message holds incredibly powerful implications for us as a society. Because if you look back to the beginning of the United States, for example, you know, how our ancestors came over here, they wanted religious freedom and so forth. So every democracy goes through this cycle, and average democracies throughout history last about 200 years. So when did our country start as a nation? 1776. Are we at 200 years? Well, we're way over that. So we're definitely pushing the envelope here. And when we go through this list, you're going to see, oh my goodness, ask yourself, be thinking of where are we as a country in this progression? Every democracy goes from bondage to spiritual faith, and from spiritual faith to great courage, from courage to liberty, from liberty to abundance, from abundance to selfishness, from selfishness to apathy, from apathy to dependence, and then from dependency back into bondage again. So where are we? I mean, if
now,
you
this
look
is not at, just our country or Western civilization. This is human experience.
Human experience from across the board. And this is just psychological stuff. Is people, you know, become comfortable. They become fat and happy, and then they become apathetic, and then they become selfish with their stuff, and then they start to amass a bunch of debt. And then with that, they get too much debt and they can't pay it off, and so they have to start looking to the government and say, hey, help me here. We have grown apathetic during the 80s and 90s. You know, it was a great couple of decades economically, and the Cold War was over, and we just became fat and happy as a people and lazy. And I think that the church stop doing what the church needs to do and reaching out to the rest of the world. We're not following God's word here. And because of that, it's proof to me that we have become very apathetic as a nation. Now that apathy is going back into dependence. And you can see that. We are asking the government, give us health care. You know, give us this, give us that. You know, take care of us, provide for us, do this and that. Well, that dependency then, you know, it comes to a point where we go back into bondage because the taxation becomes so much that it's unsustainable. And that's where I think that we are. So what happens after a democracy? You go back into a dictatorship or something even worse.
I've said this on the program before, Ryan, and it's not original to me. In fact, I first heard Chuck Colson say it, that when given a choice between chaos and tyranny, people will always take tyranny because chaos is too unpredictable. Chaos is just, I mean, everything's in disarray. And if somebody like Adolf Hitler or somebody can come along and promise to solve this, but it's going to mean that you're going to lose your freedoms, people will accept that if they're in chaos. That's where the linkage to bondage comes from, isn't
that,
it?
That is. And there's something very dangerous in that. And even very good people, when they are forced with having no food on the table, no money, they can't feed their kids, sometimes even great people almost turn into animals. I mean, society tends to just go corrupt because everything is falling apart at the same time.
This is not just an economic battle. This is a worldview battle.
This is a worldview battle. The economy is collapsing. Politics is just run out of control. Geopolitical situations around the globe, the social and moral decay. See, all of it's happening at the same time. That's proof to me that this is physical manifestations of a spiritual battle. And the Bible tells us how to win spiritual battles. And that's where our hope comes in, is we have a blueprint for successful living.
Ryan, I don't want to embarrass you, but you are a very good father and husband. I've been very impressed by the way you run your family. Hearing what he's saying must create anxiety for you with regard to the welfare of the two people that you are most responsible for.
You know what, Dad? Under normal circumstances, it probably would have. A year ago, it definitely would have. Kirk was on my broadcast on Grounded a few weeks ago. And we talked about some of these issues, and I got excited instead. I mean, I'm a believer, the Lord did not give me a spirit of fear. And in rough times, in hard times, wouldn't it be great to be an example of good behavior? You know, yesterday seemed a little bit like the sky is falling, the sky is falling. And yet every time we talk about this, Kirk always goes back to the Lord. Be on your knees and praying, you know, that the Lord can be peace in the midst of those
and
storms.
He will not abandon you.
Yeah.
Luann, weigh in on what we're talking about.
Well,
here.
I'm just thinking the men especially, not to be stereotypical, but I know my husband, when he has seen all of this coming, the first thing he wants to do is take action. You know, we actually, some people may think this is odd, we actually have signed up and we are starting to get some food that can sit in our pantry. Mm-hmm. For 20, 25 years. Mm-hmm. And that's not the whole answer. But for Steve, that helps him feel like I'm doing something. I'm the leader in this family. Scripture tells me to provide for my family. I want to do something. And that's what we need. That's
the scripture you're referring to is 1 Timothy 5:8. This is the NIV. And it says, anyone who does not provide for their relatives and especially for their own household has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever.
That's pretty strong.
I mean,
words.
That is pretty strong. That's saying you are to prepare and take care of your family. Mm-hmm. And Proverbs 6, this is a scripture I've quoted many times. Verse 6 says, go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander. It has no overseer or ruler. Yet it stores its provisions in summer and gathers its food at harvest. How long will you lie there, you sluggard, when you get up from your sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a thief and scarcity like an armed man. Okay, Kirk, obviously this is saying prepare. This is saying get up and do something to take care of your family.
It is saying that, and the word is so crystal clear. You can listen to all of this, but if the Bible tells us to not just be listeners, but to be doers. Mm-hmm. We have to act on what God tells us to do, and we'll be able to survive these things. And that's what I want to spend some time on right now.
Okay. We have very little of it left. You have listed 10 things that we ought to do. And we're going to have to go through them very quickly or we won't get done, okay?
And, Doctor, people right now need to stay tuned for this because some already have said, oh, you're just an alarmist. You're just going off the deep end here. But, Kirk, what you have in front of you is very, very relevant right now.
Okay, I'm going to read them one at a time and you comment on them.
All right.
The first, which is surprising, I thought you would say canned stuff like Ryan does. The first is to pray for wisdom.
Yeah, that always has to come first. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God who gives generously to all and without fault, and it will be given to you. That's James 1:5. You know, we need wisdom more than anything to make the right decisions in protecting our families, our freedoms, finances during these turbulent times. Because like I said before, our economic, our political, our personal freedoms, they're all interrelated. And if we lose one, we lose all of them.
All right. The second one is even more strange than the first, considering what we've been talking about, and it is to give extravagantly.
Yeah, don't just save up for yourself. Give. This is where God's economy differs from man's economy. And he says in Malachi 3:10, to bring the whole tithe into the storehouse and test me in this and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to contain it. Wow. And then he goes on to say, I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields will not drop their fruit before it's ripe. God's word doesn't return void. And when you give with a joyful heart, you learn to give out of your need rather than out of your abundance. God will supernaturally intervene in your life and pour out so many blessings that you won't be able to contain it. That second half of the promise in that scripture says that he will make you more productive. Then this is where personal story, Jolaine and I, 11 years ago, we're at rock's bottom, and we didn't have anything. And we learned then, we were tithing, but we learned to give. We said, okay, we can't handle this anymore. Let's start giving 20%. Granted, it was 20% of nothing, but it was a hard issue. And ever since then, God has given more and more and more, and the blessings have been outflowing. And that's why we started our charitable foundation, Philanthropia, to actually marry people that have with those that need around the world and just spread that out. You need to be an extravagant giver.
We're losing the battle for the clock, so we got to hurry. Number three, read and meditate on God's word.
Yeah, this is a promise from God. Meditate on his word day and night in Joshua 1:8-9, and it says, then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord God will be with you wherever you go. See, this promise doesn't return void, and it's a conditional phrase. When you meditate on God's word and are careful to do what it says, then you will be prosperous and successful.
Number four is the first item that relates directly to money.
Mm-hmm.
Get out of debt.
Yeah, getting out of debt, like we talked about earlier with interest rates starting to rise. If you have any debt, you are going to feel the pinch even worse as interest rates start to rise. And so key in surviving this economic crisis is to start to get out of your debt, especially your variable debt, like your credit cards, your adjustable rate mortgages. As interest rates start to rise, you will get crushed.
Mm-hmm. You talked yesterday about the dollar collapsing.
Mm-hmm.
What happens to people in debt when the dollar goes down?
You know, for a while, it actually benefits you because you're paying back your debt with a depreciated currency, and it's the banks that are actually getting hurt. But as hyperinflation comes in, this happens in Latin American countries, they start to reindex the debt. This is a scary concept for us because if you owe $100,000 on your house and inflation is 100%, they'll say, well, we'll keep all the rates and terms the same, except instead of $100,000, now you owe $200,000.
What?
This is reindexing the debt. We haven't had to worry about it here in this country, but other countries who have gone through hyperinflation, the banks are not going to be behind the eight ball on this issue, and they're going to make sure they get paid and not get stuck holding bad debt.
Number five, grow your roots in a local church.
Oh, man. This is important because when times get tough, you need shoulders to cry on. You need a support system. You need a community of people around you that you can rejoice with during times of victory and that you have shoulders to cry on and lean on for support, whether it's a sustainable community where you're sharing food and sharing resources and so forth, because things get nasty and you need a support system.
Number six, be politically active and make your voice heard.
Well, we've seen this happen with the rise of the Tea Party movement and what happened in the last election. And it just goes to show you that if we are loud enough and we speak out that we can make change, don't think that you can never make a change. Because you can. We just have to actually be politically active and vote for people that actually stand for truth.
Number seven goes right straight to what you're doing, Ryan. Become self-sufficient.
Yes. Gardens, chickens, all of that stuff. Seriously, as crazy as it sounds, long-term food storage, getting clean water supplies. We have to become self-sufficient. Mm-hmm. And that's where some of these sustainable communities come in, too, and having a support system around you.
You just shook up everybody that's in a little condo, doesn't have any land.
Do you even know that this week I have 15 baby chicks coming?
I've heard that, yes.
And I've now become crazy to most of our listeners.
Yes,
one of them's got our name on it.
Yeah. All right.
All right. Number eight, diligently study the fundamentals of the market. Now, I'm not sure I'm willing to do that.
We do. We lose a lot of people right there. Or find someone, and that's what their specialty and their passion is, to get good, sound advice. Kirk's my friend.
And how do you know it when you see it?
Yeah.
I've got so many friends that lost money in the market back a year or two ago.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Kirk's a friend of mine. I'm on the board of his foundation, Philanthropia, and I get good advice from him. And so I would encourage all of our listeners to find somebody you can get good advice from if you can't be a student of the markets.
Yeah, I mean, what it boils down to is if you don't have the time to understand the fundamentals, why things go up, why things go down, because that dictates what we invest in. I'm a firm believer that there are no such things as bad investments. There's just bad timing for investments. And so you have to understand why things move the way they do.
Number nine, reallocate your assets.
Yeah, this goes along with the last point. And when you understand these fundamentals and what causes markets to move, you'll see trend lines establish and what goes up, and some stuff is going up, some stuff is going down. Gold and silver, for example, have been going up like clockwork, 30% a year like clockwork for the last 9 years, basically, while other stuff has been coming down. However, it's not going to be the best investment forever. The point there is identify what's going down and get out of it. Identify what's going up and get into it.
We need a disclaimer here that you sell gold and silver.
I'm a financial advisor. We sell everything, stocks, bonds, mutual funds, precious metals, all of it. And so I don't have a bias in any direction, but what I do have a bias for is that we are in the right place at the right time, and that's why education is so important.
Okay. And number 10, contact a financial advisor who understands the times that we're living in.
Yeah.
That's kind of redundant to one of the others.
It is, but you said it. We need to be sons of Issachar who understood the times and knew what to do, and that's what we need to be today. We need to be these modern-day sons of Issachar who understand the times and know what to do.
Now, before you got here, I wrote down something that I want to share with our listeners, because we feel like we're living in the worst time that has ever occurred in this country. But let me go back. All right. 1930, the Great Depression was going on. 1940, World War II was right at the door. 1950, Korea was going on. 1960, the Berlin Wall was threatening us all with the Russians at the door. And 2 years later, the Cuban Missile Crisis occurred. 1970, we had Vietnam and all the chaos that was going on in the late 60s and early 70s. 1980 was tremendous inflation. This is the Jimmy Carter era. What was it? Inflation was 16% and interest was 23%?
Correct.
Yeah. And 1990, we had an economic downturn, and Desert Storm was 1 year away. And the year 2000, we had Y2K, and everybody was scared to death over that one, including myself. And 2010, the collapse of banks and the housing market and terrible unemployment. It is the nature of man, isn't it?
It is.
I mean, it's all the time. So you got to stay on your toes.
You have to stay on your toes and realize when looking at that, everything is cyclical. And these cycles go through. Financial problems lead to economic problems to political problems lead to geopolitical problems, which is war. And so when we look at all this stuff, the stuff that you mentioned there, Dr. Dobson, is right. These have all been patterns. We've survived all of them, some people better than others. And that is our goal, is to do the right thing at the right time, to rely on God's wisdom, the creator of the universe, who can give us what we need to survive, and not just survive, but thrive, even during the worst of these economic times.
We've been talking to Dr. Kirk Elliott. You are a fascinating man to talk to. Highly relevant to our individual families. Jolaine is sitting behind you. She's your wife. You have two kids. You worry about the future a little bit yourself, don't you?
Absolutely. And that's why I'm doing what I'm doing. You know, I'm just doing what God has called me to do, and with a passion and a fervor that can only come from the Holy Spirit, because it's a scary world. But you know what? We have to keep fighting. We have to keep running this race with perseverance and hope that we can make a change for future generations.
Ryan and Luann, the 10 items we talked about need to be on our website.
I wrote a note to Luann saying the same thing.
Absolutely. And what I love
That brilliant thing I just did on the years, too. I mean, goodness, that'll
right.
be published.
Right.
That goes without saying.
Right. We were going to do that. Yeah. But that list, Kirk, I'm just so impressed that four of those first five are spiritual lessons. Mm-hmm. The takeaway value here is just profound.
You know, God loves us, and He has plans for a successful future for us, not for pain. And it's when we do not follow His word, when we're not faithful and obedient, that's when problems start to happen. Because if we were to follow His word, He's got the answers for us. He does.
And we need to get on the backs of our politicians and
Absolutely.
Tell them to stop spending the next generation's money.
Absolutely. They are basically wanting to ensure that our future generations don't have a country to live in. That's not what they're saying, but their policies are going to ensure that.
Would you come back and see us again?
I would love to.
We've got a lot more to talk about here. And God bless you, friend, and thank you for depending on God's word. It'd be very easy to come here and talk about depressing things and not have answers. But there are answers. Mm-hmm. And there are solutions, and you brought them, and they're all found in the Scripture.
Well, thank you so much. It was my pleasure.
Okay.
And as we said, Doctor, we'll have those 10 solutions that Kirk shared with us today. We'll have those posted at myfamilytalk.com. I would really encourage listeners to print them, revisit them, even share them with a friend or a family member.
Lou Anne, also at myfamilytalk.com, we've linked to Kirk's financial advising website. He has some complimentary resources for Family Talk listeners, and no doubt you'll find those as helpful as I have.
And speaking to the listeners, if you are struggling with your finances in any way, maybe you're over your head in debt, tired of living paycheck to paycheck, there is a better way to live. And we have links available at myfamilytalk.com to some wonderful Christian ministries that can help you achieve financial freedom.
Again, that's at myfamilytalk.com, or ask about it when you call. Our number is 877-732-6825. Again, 877-732-6825.
Thank you so much for listening. And before we sign off today, a quick mention that here on the Family Talk broadcasting team, we are accepting resumes right now for a volunteer summer internship position. If you're working on a broadcasting or communications degree and would like some hands-on experience, you can learn more by going online to myfamilytalk.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you tomorrow.